8 a.m. And it'll be at their house, I reckon. And so anyway, find out where they live and bring your pickup and bring they got a big truck. Okay, we got to load their big truck. So be there and help them and send them off the way that we ought to send them off. Says March the 3rd is the 90th birthday of Brother Dick Wheaton, and it's going to be held there at the Sermon Center. And on that same day at 3 p.m. is a baby shower for Lisa Case here at the church. And we found a Quick Trip prepaid card. Whosever it is, be honest and claim it. We have our brother ready to deliver the Word of God. He's fresh back from Honduras. He's probably got a lot of good stories. But we want to believe that God has filled him up. And as he being filled up, lets us have it. And we want the Spirit of God. We want his advice. We want his counsel. We want his rebuke. We want his encouragement. We need it. We got to have it. And so I hope that you have prepared yourself to hear the Word of God. And if you have, you'll hear it today. Brother Dan Lawrence.
Thank you, Randy. Manon and I would like to thank each of you for your prayers in our absence. And I especially want to thank your assistant pastors for taking care of the duties while I was gone. I appreciate them stepping up and taking care of those things. Our trip was truly a blessing for us. It's a beautiful land, lovely people, and we really, really enjoyed being there. I bring to you from them their love and their greetings. And before I start my sermon, I have just a few pictures that I would like to show of some of the people that we ministered to down there. This is some of the people from one of the local congregations in Okulee. They have a building down there, and they meet on a regular basis, and very, very faithful members. This is a group, a little village called Monterrey, and the powers that be in that village of Monterrey some time back decided that they wanted to invite religious groups to come and set up churches there at Monterrey, and we were one of the groups that was invited. And Monterrey is a good probably hour drive at least from Zamorano, but they knew about us, and they invited us along with several other groups. We are the only group that accepted the invitation, and so they've been holding services and studies there, and helping the people to know who we are and what we're about, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I had the opportunity to do a study with these people there in Monterrey. This is El Chaparral. It's also a wide spot in the road down there up in the mountains, absolutely beautiful setting. And I wrote a little bit about it in the pastor's letter this morning on the front of the bulletin. A number of these people are members of the church. The gentleman down here on your right in the kind of reddish shirt, his name is Alex, and Alex is a minister in the church. And the two older folks on the left are his parents. They are also members of the church. And just positively lovely, lovely people. And they're well-versed in the scriptures. And we had a sacrament service there and also a study. This is just a shot of one of the services there in the Zamorano local. They have very good attendance there. And I had the opportunity to preach to the group once and also listen to our brother Alex speak to the group. So I bring you these pictures because I told these people that you would pray for them and that I wanted to take home pictures of them so that you would know who you were praying for and what they look like. So please remember these people in your prayers. They like everybody else in the world, they have trials. Life is not easy in the mountains down there, but cheerful, joyful, loving people. I would like to speak today about humility. And I'm going to begin in the 22nd chapter of Luke. And we're going to have some examples of humility. We're going to have some discussions of what humility is about. And so if you would turn to the 22nd chapter of Luke. Is this all showing? Yeah, okay. It doesn't all show on mine, but it all shows on yours. So Luke 22, verses 39 through 42. Speaking of our Savior Jesus Christ, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This is perhaps an ultimate example of humility. Being totally willing to put away your own personal desires, your own personal emotions, your own will, and replace it with the will of the Lord. And so I bring you this example of humility, and I want you to keep this in your mind as we continue, that our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one we follow, the one we adore, the one whose name we carry, was that perfect example of humility. Let us continue in the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Mosiah, first chapter. One verse, verse 120. Mosiah 1, 120. I'll start at 119. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. That natural man is who we are without God, who we are when we follow our own will, our own desires, and don't take into account the leadings of the Spirit, the words that we have been given of guidance and direction, wisdom and understanding. The natural man puts away all of the things of God. But if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh as a child submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. So we have these two examples of the natural man and the spiritual man, the godly man, the Christian man, who resists those tendencies of the natural man, that he puts off the natural man. The Bible talks about putting off the old man and becoming a new man through Jesus Christ. The old man, the natural man, thinks only of his own desires, thinks only of himself, and we call that pride. But if a man puts off that natural man, he takes on humility. And what are some of these characteristics? He becometh as a child, submissive. A child is totally dependent upon his parents. And he conforms to the will of his parents. And the parents then have that moral obligation to provide the Christ-like example for their children, teaching them to be humble, teaching them to rely upon the Lord, teaching them to seek the will of the Lord. Meek, being able to control the power and the abilities that the Lord has given us. Humble, putting off the natural man. Being willing to accept the Lord's will, no matter what it might bring. Patient. Being, again, willing to accept the Lord's will with the understanding that I may have to put off things that I want. I may have to be patient. Perhaps I want something that's good. I spoke to a man the other day who was trying to order his life. He had a plan, a grand plan of ordering his life so that he could be self-sufficient, that he wouldn't have to work so that he could serve the Lord, but yet be able to support himself. And that was a good thing. Problem was, he was not realistic in terms of how much time it would take, how much effort it would take on his part to get all of those pieces lined up. He wanted it to happen overnight. And so we need to talk about patience. The desire to do the right thing is good. We just have to be willing to do it in God's time. Full of love. How important. How important it is to have compassion for other people. And when you do that, you're not thinking of yourself. You're thinking of them. That's humility. And as we saw in the example of our Savior, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict. Christ knew what he had to do. He knew that this was his mission in life. It's often said that he was born to die. Without his sacrifice, his life would have been a good example. He would have said many wonderful things. But the history of the world is full of men who said many wonderful things and who were good examples. He was born. He was brought to this earth so that he would come to that point in time when he was ready to leave the Mount of Olives and go to his sacrificial death. These are qualities of humility. If I often look at verses like this and think in terms of cross stitch. This would be one, if you were good at cross stitch and had a lot of time, you could put this verse on your wall. Let's move now on to the 18th chapter of Matthew, Matthew 18. We're going to see an example here of how Christ taught humility to his disciples. And this account shows, in several places in the scriptures, I just chose to use the one here in the 18th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the first verse. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" It doesn't say it here, but if you look at one of the other accounts, prior to them coming to Christ with this question, they had been discussing amongst themselves which of them was the most important. Which of them would be the cream that rises to the top? Which of them would be in charge once the Lord was no longer there? And the Lord knew their thoughts. He knew what they were getting at when they asked this question, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And I look at the first part of that verse, "except ye be converted." And, you know, he even said to Peter, "when you are converted." And I'm sure that must have been a confusion to them, because here they are, they're baptized members of the church. They are in the inner circle. They are the ones who have been given the authority to perform miracles and to raise the dead and to preach the word. And they're told, "when you're converted." They were called by Christ. They were pretty much compelled to go. I mean, compelled by the Holy Spirit, for certain. But they didn't really grasp the complete import of what was going on. And they wouldn't be able to until after Christ's death and resurrection. And so there came a time afterwards that they had this comprehension. And then they were truly converted. Now, they wouldn't have been asking a question like this if they didn't fully understand that concept of humility. And so Christ put this little child in front of them, just like it says here in Mosiah. He said, "Becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child." And so he again used this child as an example of humility. And he said, if you don't do that, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And so Christ took this opportunity to teach them humility, that they shouldn't be thinking about themselves. They shouldn't be thinking, am I going to be in charge here? Am I going to be the one? But rather, they should be thinking about the children. They should be thinking about the people that they're there to serve. They should be thinking about the Lord and his sacrifice that he's about to perform. Here in John chapter 21, we have an example of humility, and this has always impressed me. John 21, we could read the whole story, but the story is not really germane to what I'm trying to get at here. It's just it's the way that he said it, the way that he said this. Here in chapter 20, or chapter 21, verse 20, in the Gospel according to John. I'm sorry. "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? So Peter saw one of the disciples, but it doesn't mention him by name. Who was that that he saw? It was John, the one who wrote this gospel. But yet, as an example of his humility, he wasn't willing to mention his name in this situation. Indeed, he did lean on Jesus' breast. Jesus loved him. It said, this is the disciple that Jesus loved. But in his humility, he didn't say, oh, and by the way, that was me. Because that would be proud. The same situation in the 20th chapter. Did I put that up here? I didn't. But the same thing happened in the 20th chapter of the same book, verses 1 through 3. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. Three times he had the opportunity to mention his own name, but he didn't do it, because he did not want to bring glory to himself. He was humble. What a beautiful example. Let's move on to Romans. Chapter 12, one of my favorites. Okay, verse 3. Romans 12, 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, that's all of us, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. I believe we have all been given abilities. We don't all have the same ability, as the scripture says. We're not all the hand, we're not all the foot. But we all have abilities. We all have talents. We all have gifts. And what is the source of all of these talents and gifts and abilities? They're gifts of God. So if I stand up here and tell you how great I am at whatever it is, because of this ability that I've got, am I not taking credit for something that God did? That's pride. Now, should I hide it? I don't want anybody to know that I'm good at this. Well, no, because then you're not using the gift that God gave you. We use our gifts. We attempt to accomplish the Lord's will. We do what He's asked us to do, and we give Him the glory. That's humility. Also in the same chapter, Romans 12, let's look at verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. These are more admonitions to humility. Be of the same mind one toward another. Well, you know, this brother, he's a nice guy, but, you know, he kind of doesn't get it, and he's not really nearly as smart as I am, and I just as soon not hang out with him because he's just no fun, you know, because he's just, you know, he's really on another level. He's practically on another planet. Well, that's pride. That's pride. The Lord doesn't look on him that way. That's what it means when the scripture says that God is no respecter of persons. He loves each one of us equally for who we are and what we are, because we're all his children. So if we start grading on a curve, then we're putting ourselves in place of God and saying who's worthy and who's not. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. It's the same thing. Now, if somebody important comes in, we're all going to gravitate to this person, and I want to talk to him, you know. And well, you know, he chose me to talk to because, well, he's great, and I'm pretty great myself. No, that's pride. That's pride. Be not wise in your own conceits. Wisdom comes from God. Comes from his holy word. It comes through the power of his Holy Spirit. And I can't say that I have wisdom. I've got it. If the Lord has given me wisdom, he expects me to use it. But he expects me to use it in a humble way to serve him, to glorify him. Let's turn back to the Book of Mormon and the 29th chapter of Alma. It's easy for you guys. You've got it up on the screen. I got to go looking for it. Alma 29, 58 and 59. Okay. And the people of Nephi began to prosper again in the land and began to multiply and to wax exceeding strong again in the land, and they began to grow exceeding rich. Well, this is a formula for disaster. We see it over and over and over again in the scriptures. We see it over and over again in the history of mankind, that riches and being prosperous can frequently lead to pride, because it's very easy to say, look what I did. I've got all this stuff because I was just a little smarter than the other guy. All that we have, all that we are a gift from God. We can take no credit for it. We can be good stewards. If the Lord has given us something, a talent, we can use it. We should use it to get more so that we can help him. But not for our own personal gain, not for our own personal glory. A little side note. There is, in the world of violins, there is a problem. And that is, to the average person, all violins look alike. And so frequently, weekly, I have people that bring violins into the shop, and They want to know if they have trash or treasure. And I'm not the ultimate authority. I've learned a bit about identification of instruments, and I know my limitations. But I can usually tell if it's trash or treasure. And I've had hundreds and hundreds of instruments come in that really, you know, were not worth the box that they were carried in. But I've probably had, over the years, I've probably had at least a dozen instruments come in that the people had absolutely no idea what they had. None whatsoever. You know, should I throw this away? Should I give it away? Should I sell it? Instruments that were worth thousands of dollars, many thousands of dollars, really wonderful instruments. And so I've helped them to establish a value for it. If they want to sell it, I'll help them sell it. If they want to sell it outright, if I can afford it, I'll buy it. But I explained to them all the way through, this is what it's worth. This is what you could expect to get out of it in a private sale. If you're in a hurry to sell it, this is what you could get out of it. This would be an auction value for it. Explain everything from beginning to end so that they know exactly where they're at. They can make a wise decision. I've had other people tell me, well, that's pretty foolish. Why don't you just tell them it's worth $50 and send them on their way? You know, buy it for $50 and send them on your way, their way, and then you can make a lot of money. I say, well, that's not fair. Oh, well, it is fair because you have developed this ability to recognize instruments, and you have the right to gain from that ability. I said, but I don't have the right to make gain at the expense of someone else's ignorance. That's wrong. They just shake their head and say, well, okay, go right ahead. It's your life. It is my life. It's my spiritual life. That's what guides me daily. Not, what can I do to make a lot of money? What can I do to bring glory to the Lord? And He will provide. He has provided. We've been richly blessed. But I can't take any of the honor or the glory to myself. It's the Lord. It's the Lord's doing. It's part of His plan. Okay, 59. And they began to grow exceeding rich, but notwithstanding their riches or their strength or their prosperity, they were not lifted up in the pride of their eyes. Neither were they slow to remember the Lord their God, but they did humble themselves exceedingly before Him. What a wonderful example. What a wonderful example of humility that an entire community of people was willing to humble themselves before the Lord. A beautiful thing. One more verse in Mosiah chapter 2. Mosiah chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. This is sort of the conclusion of the matter for today. Even so, I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness, His goodness and long-suffering towards you, unworthy creatures. Where's Gary? Is this the verse you were discussing this morning? Or is it just one like it? It's one like it. So this was a discussion that they were having in Sunday school this morning. That no matter where we are in life, no matter what our situation is, whether we're prosperous or poor, whether we're well-fed or hungry, whether we have work or don't, always retain in remembrance the greatness of God. How many of you here have ever done pottery work or tried to build something out of clay? Okay? It's not very easy, is it? It's even harder to do something that's really beautiful. And you had clay to start with. Everything that we see when we look around, the earth and everything in it, and the universe and the stars and everything. The Lord had nothing to start with. He didn't start even with a lump of clay. Everything that we see was a creation of God, and he did it through the power of his own desire. So how can we possibly compare to that? How can we possibly say, I did this? We can't. The Lord gave me an ability, a gift, and I was able to use that gift to do something to glorify him. Retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you, unworthy creatures. How many of us can say that we really deserve everything the Lord's given us? I hope I don't see any hands raised. No, we don't deserve anything. Because we owe the Lord just for the very air that we breathe, just the fact that we even exist. We're indebted to him before we ever even ask for anything, before we ever even receive anything. We're in the red, and we're going to be in the red until the day we die. He's made us stewards of our life. He's made us stewards of the gifts and blessings that he's granted unto us. But they're all his, and he deserves all the glory. And humble yourselves, even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of an angel. The Lord has put us here for a reason. He's given us the tools that we need to accomplish his will. Just as in the garden, he gave Christ the tools that he needed to accomplish his will. He put him where he was to do a job. And he said, not my will, but thine be done. And that's the attitude that we should have, whatever it is. Not my will be done, but thine. I thank you for your attention, and I pray that these things will help each of us, including myself, to lead that life of humility before the Lord. The last verse. Behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. That's a goal. That's a promise. God bless you.